Two Adams. First of all, by way of introduction, the word Adam or the name Adam actually is a Hebrew word and it means man. So Adam's name was Adam, but his name meant man. And that makes sense because he was the first man, right? Okay. And I want you to know that the biblical Adam was an historical person. The biblical Adam was an historical person, not some symbol, not some mythology, but an historical person. Adam was a real man who really lived. Moses in Genesis presents Adam as an historical person. The chronicler in the Old Testament and Luke in the New Testament include Adam in their genealogies of Jesus. Job mentions Adam. Jesus alludes to Adam in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. And Paul wrote about Adam in Romans here, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Timothy. Again, the biblical Adam was an historical person. But Adam was something else. Not only was he historical, but Adam is a type of, or figure of Christ, but just the opposite. Look in verse 14 here of chapter 5. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so the Bible itself says that Adam was a figure, or Adam was a type of Christ, but just the opposite. And we're going to see as we work through today's message how Adam was just the opposite, did just the opposite for us, what Jesus did for us. And so let's look at two Adams, beginning with two men. Two men. The first man was named Adam. He was created by God. How do we know he was created by God? Because the Bible says so. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 that I already shared with the children, it says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we know that Adam was created by God because the Bible says so. And then Eve was the first woman created from the man. You probably know the story how God puts Adam to sleep and does surgery on him, takes one of his ribs out, and from that rib he creates the woman. Here comes another insensitive joke. We know that God created the universe, then rested. Then God created Adam, then rested. Then God created Eve, and since then, no one has rested. So the first man is named Adam, created by God. Oh, by the way, evolutionary scientists, and I'm not one of them, but evolutionary scientists agree that all humans have descended from a single pair. So they would not say they believe in Adam and Eve, but they would say at some point there was a single human pair, and from that pair, that's where we all came from. Well, guess what? We know who that pair is. The Bible says it's Adam and Eve. Adam was also made in the image of God. He was made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God says, "Let us make man in our own image." He was made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? To be made in the image of God. Well, theologians actually have wrestled with this for a couple thousand years. But it's really not one thing. We don't say, well, this is what the image of God is, or that is what the image of God is. It is multifaceted. To be made in the image of God, as all humans are, means that, number one, we're rational. To be made in the image of God means, number two, we're immoral. To be made in the image of God, number three, means we are emotional. To be made in the image of God means that we are physical. Now, what I mean by that is, think about it. The ultimate revelation of God to his creation was what? As a human being, as a man, Jesus Christ. And so even physically, that has to do with the image of God. To be made in the image of God means that we are spiritual creatures. And to be made in the image of God means we are eternal creatures. People last forever and ever and ever. The only question is, where are you going to spend eternity? But you're going to spend eternity. You need to make sure you know where you're going to spend it. Because people are made in the image of God, that means every person possesses infinite worth and infinite dignity. And that is why I remind us all the time, human life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. Now, Adam also had some interesting qualities. First of all, he was morally sinless. He was morally sinless. Secondly, Adam was biologically perfect. And thirdly, Adam was volitionally free. Let me say those things again. Adam had these qualities. He was morally sinless. He was biologically perfect. And he was volitionally free. And so that's the first Adam, the first man. But I want us to look at the last Adam. And I get that from 1 Corinthians 15:45. Notice what Paul says. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam was not named Adam. He was named Jesus. And unlike the first Adam that was created, Jesus was not created. He was begotten. He was begotten. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. It is true that Jesus was born at Christmas time, but he has always existed. He was not created, he was begotten. Thirdly, the first Adam was made in the image of God. Jesus, the Bible says, is the express image of God. Look here at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself created all things, it goes on to say. Now, that phrase, express image, is one Greek word from which we get the English word character. Character. The idea referred to a stamp used to press an image into soft material. So if you've got a stamp and maybe you've got some clay or something, you take that stamp and you push it into the clay. When you remove the stamp, the exact imprint from the stamp is left in the material. And so that's what the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is. He's the express image of God. In other words, if God were to take himself and stamp it into a piece of clay and then step away, you'd see Jesus. And by the way, this expression, express image, is used only here in the New Testament. It's not used anywhere else in the New Testament, just here. And that reminds us of how unique Jesus is as the express image of God. And we know Jesus understood this because he said in John 14:9, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? That proves that Jesus understood he was the express image of God. The last Adam also possessed the same qualities as the first Adam. Morally sinless, biologically perfect, volitionally free. But Jesus was something more. This last Adam was something more than the first Adam. Jesus is God in the flesh. Look here at 1 Corinthians 15:47. We looked at 15:45, talking about the first Adam and the last Adam. Look what this says. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So if you ever doubted the deity of Christ, who he is, there you go. The last Adam is Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. So we see two men. But secondly, I want us to look at two choices. The first Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed God in eating the fruit. Look over in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so Adam disobeyed God in eating the fruit. Now, the fruit was not the sin. The disobedience was the sin. But you probably know the story. God puts Adam and Eve in the garden. And he says, look, you can have any of the fruit in this garden. You can have anything you want to eat except for just one. This one right here. You don't eat that. But anything else, you can have as much as you want. You can have it whenever you want. No limits. Just stay away from this one. And of course, we know that Adam disobeyed God and he ate the fruit. Now, you know the story, and that is that Eve actually sinned first, right? Eve did sin first. After a wonderful dinner, a wife asked her husband, "What would you men do without us women?" The man thought a moment and said, "We'd still be in the Garden of Eden." Eve actually sinned first, but Adam is held responsible. Throughout the scriptures, starting in the book of Genesis, but all the way through the New Testament, Adam is held responsible. Yeah, Eve sinned first. Adam is responsible. You know why? Because Adam was supposed to lead his wife, but instead he let her lead him. He should have stood up and said, no, we're not supposed to eat that. We're not supposed to disobey God. But instead, Adam, instead of leading his wife, he let her lead him. Not only did Adam sin, but Adam introduced corruption into creation through his sin. He introduced corruption into creation through his sin. Do you know why we have disease in our lives? Because of Adam's sin. Do you know why we have disaster in our world? Because of Adam's sin. Do you know why we have death in our world? It is because of Adam's sin. In Genesis 2:17, God warns Adam and Eve. He says, the day you eat of this, I've told you not to eat it, but the day you do, you will die. That's why people die. Because Adam disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. Now, please understand that Adam's death was not immediate. In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, Adam lived to be 930 years old. Almost 1,000 years old. And so when he ate of that fruit, when he disobeyed, he didn't die immediately. He lived to be 930 years old. And even though his death was not immediate, it was definite. How do I know? Because the Bible says Adam died at 930 years old. He didn't die immediately, but he definitely died. Not only that, but Adam passed down sin and death to all of his descendants. You know why we sin? You know why we're all going to die one day? Because Adam passed down sin and death to all of his descendants. We are all his descendants, and we all sin, and we're all going to die one day. We've already been looking at this over the past couple months, but everyone sins. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And again, look over here, verse 19 of chapter 5. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Everyone sins and everyone dies. Now, the Old Testament law defines sin. But people died before the law was ever given. So if you want to know what sin is, you can read the Old Testament law and find out, okay, this is do this, don't do this. That's what sin is. It's defined there. And yet people died before the law was ever given. Look at verses 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And so even though the Old Testament law had not been given to define sin, people were still dying. How could that be? Because sin is imputed to us from Adam. Adam's sin nature is transferred to everyone. We receive Adam's sin nature the moment we are conceived. And because of that, we are all born spiritually dead. And this is why the virgin birth of Christ is so very, very important. Because Jesus did not inherit a sin nature from Adam. Jesus could be the last Adam because he didn't have that fallen nature, because he was virgin born. If you think, well, I believe all that Christian stuff and all of that, but I'm not the virgin birth. I can't buy that. You're no Christian. That's how important the virgin birth of Christ is. If he's not virgin born, we've got no Savior. It is critically important. And we know. We know that we receive Adam's sin nature. And the best way to illustrate it, and some of you have experienced this personally, and that is because infants die in our day. Infants die. Now, the wages of sin is death. Has an infant sinned? Has an infant told a lie? Has an infant stolen something? No. How can an infant die? Because that infant has received the sin nature from Adam. That is how that can be. Now, even though people were dying before the law was given, the law did come later, further defining and multiplying sin. Look in verse 20. Verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And so, yes, the law came later, and the law further defined and multiplied sin. And so this first Adam, he sinned. He introduced corruption into creation. He passed down sin and death to all his descendants, and he brought condemnation to all people. He brought condemnation to all people. Now, death is the natural consequence of sin. Condemnation is the divine consequence of sin. Let me say that again without stuttering. Death is the natural consequence of sin. Condemnation is the divine consequence of sin. Let me be frank. If death were final, It would be sad, but bearable. So when somebody died, you bury them, you never see them again. If death were final, that'd be very sad. But we could deal with it. But understand this. Death plus condemnation is an eternal disaster. Again, you're going to die because that's the natural consequence of sin. I'm going to die. That's a natural consequence of sin. But beyond that natural consequence is condemnation from God. Again, if death were final, it'd be sad but bearable. Death plus condemnation is an eternal disaster. Some of you might be thinking here this morning, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but it's really not fair that some guy named Adam, thousands of years ago, because of the mistake he made, affects me today. I really don't think that's fair. I really don't think that's right. Please understand that God chose Adam as our federal representative in the Garden of Eden. Adam was chosen by God Himself to represent you and me. Do you think you could have chosen better than God? When you say, that's not fair, that what Adam did affected me, remember, God chose Adam. So you're going to make a better choice than God? You think if God chose you, we'd still be in the garden? Or if God chose me, we'd still be in the garden? God made the perfect choice. And Adam did not. And as a result, we suffer. So that's the first Adam. But what about the last Adam? Well, the last Adam was sinless. The last Adam, instead of introducing corruption into creation, he introduced grace into creation. Look in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. He introduced grace into creation. And this last Adam will reverse creation's corruption. Again, our creation is corrupt right now, but the last Adam will reverse creation's corruption. We looked at this a couple weeks ago, how that all creation is waiting for this day. In Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 21, it says, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. All creation is waiting, and all creation will experience the reversal of creation's corruption. Notice what also the last Adam did. He brought free gifts. He brought free gifts. Look in verse 15. It says there, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Look in verse 16. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Look in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift. And verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. And so the last Adam brought free gifts. What are the free gifts? Verses 16 and 18, justification. Verses 17 and 19, righteousness. This one's not here, but it's in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. He brought resurrection. Look at this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And finally, the last Adam brought eternal life. Look in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the last Adam brought free gifts, justification, righteousness, resurrection, eternal life. And the good news for you, it's available to all by imputation, by grace through faith. What do you believe? You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that Jesus was buried for your sins, and the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. If you want these free gifts, all you do is believe. Salvation is a free gift. If you ever wondered, is it free or is it not free? Don't listen to me. Look what the Bible says. I showed you in verse 15, free gift. Verse 16, free gift. Verse 17, free gift. Verse 18, free gift. You ever wonder what a free gift is? Let me tell you what a free gift is. It's a free gift. No strings attached. It's free. Salvation is a free gift. But let me ask you, do you believe? Salvation is a free gift. Do you believe it? One of Dean's favorite questions he asks people when he's out and about, he says, do you believe salvation is a free gift? And more often than not, they say, well, no. You have to be good enough. You have to join a church. You have to be baptized, blah, 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 blah. Well, in case you're thinking along those lines, go back and read these verses. Four verses in a row. Paul says, free gift, free gift, free gift, free gift. Is salvation a free gift? You better believe it's a free gift. Here's what I don't know. Do you believe it's a free gift? Because if you don't, then you don't believe the Bible. Is that you? You don't believe the Bible? I don't want you to believe me, but I want you to believe the Bible. It is a free gift. A free gift. And so we've seen, as we looked at two Adams, we've seen two men. We've seen two choices. And lastly, I want us to look at two results. Two results. The first Adam gives us death. You can thank Adam for that. He gives us death. He introduced sin, which results in death. And no one is exempt from the reach of Adam's disobedience. No one. You say, well, what about Jesus? Yeah, that's a special situation with the virgin birth. But no one else is exempt from the reach of Adam's disobedience. And so he introduced sin, which introduces death. And what is death when you boil it all down? Death is separation. Death is separation from our loved ones temporally, and death is separation from God eternally. That's what the first Adam gives us, death. But the last Adam gives us life. Go back in verse 21 again. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The last Adam gives us life. We can live forever by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. While it is true that sin is ever present, so is grace. And while sin abounds, grace superabounds. Look in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. That doesn't sound as impressive as what that means where it says grace abounded much more. In the Greek, that means that grace superabounded. Superabounded. So yes, sin is ever present. You and I can't get away from it in this life. It is ever present, but so is grace. And while sin abounds, grace superabounds. And again, the good news, God's grace is available to everyone by faith. By faith. We must believe. We must believe what? I already told you. We must believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. We must believe that Jesus was buried for our sins. And we must believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. We must believe. Let me ask you, have you believed? This is what we must believe, but have you believed? Let me make it more personal and direct. Today, will you believe? Will you believe? And if not, why not? Why not? You're just going with Adam, the first one? You're going to die and go to hell. Why not receive the last Adam? Have your sins forgiven and go to heaven forever. That's a no-brainer. Even I can figure that out. And so today, as we looked at two Adams, we see, first of all, two men. The first Adam, created by God, made in the image of God, morally sinless, biologically perfect, volitionally free. The last Adam, named Jesus, begotten, not created, in the express image of God, possessing the same qualities as the first Adam, but he is God in the flesh. Secondly, we looked at two choices. The first Adam, sin. And because of his sin, he introduced corruption into creation and death. And he passed sin and death down to everybody else. The last Adam was sinless. He introduced grace into creation. He will reverse creation's corruption. He brought free gifts. Remember what a free gift is? It's a free gift. And that free gift is available to all by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we see finally the two results. The first Adam gives us death. The last Adam gives us life. We must believe. Have you believed? Will you believe right here, right now, today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you didn't leave us with just the first Adam, but you sent your son, the last Adam, to fix everything that the first Adam broke. We believe the first Adam existed, but we don't trust in him. But we need to trust in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Give us grace and faith to believe in him and to share him with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.